Blog Talk Radio.
Killbee's Barbecue. Welcome to my Monday night show. We've got a lineup tonight. We've got Danny with Smoke Bowls Up and Smoke. Hopefully, Barbecue will be calling in a little bit later. Talk about his newer ventures and stuff and him winning the grand this year at the, what I want to call a shootout at the Gold Cake Corral. It was a Who's Who Barbecue up there. Two teams fighting out for Team of the Year in KCBS. Three guys came out victorious. And looks like they're going to hold on to the top spot. Also, I want to congratulate Rob Bagby for winning the grand down to Florida this past weekend. I think he's finishing up third overall in the FBA Team of the Year points. Dan Hillis from Big Papa's Country Kitchen is leading the way. So, congratulations to all of them. I also want to put out a congrats to Swiggin' Pig for, Jiggy Piggy. We're taking grand at Decatur, at Demopolis. Good Lord, my geography's off tonight. Taking grand in Demopolis, Alabama at Christmas on the River. Congratulations to him. And also I want to give a shout-out to a couple South Carolina teams, some people I know very well. George King from Can't Quit Smoking just wrapped up his, I think it's either his second or third Team of the Year honors in South Carolina Barbecue Association. Brian Teague from Up and Smoke took second place overall for the year, and then a good friend of mine, Jeff Smith from Smoke and Stack, took third overall this year. And looks like they're already gearing up for next year. They've got some contests coming up in, I think, January or February, so they're all gearing up. Going to hit the trail again pretty soon. As for Killer Bees, I think our next contest is going to be the Georgia Barbecue Championship Throwdown up in Young Harris, Georgia. Looking forward to that. Had the banquet up there and everything. Did some of Georgia friends and just not compete for a couple months. I'm already going stir crazy, but doing a few little things to my trailer and stuff, getting it ready for next year and trying to simplify things a little bit more. Even though this being my second full year in doing competitions, I think the key to being successful is to kind of keep things pretty simple. So we're getting rid of a lot of crap we don't use at these contests and everything. So I guess as big corporations call it streamlining and cutting the fat. So anyway, that's what we're up to for next month or so, 2 months. Good Lord, two more months. I'll drive my wife crazy. But anyways, we got our first caller on the line. It's Danny Kugel from Pit Bulls Up and Smoke, a good friend of mine, and we compete against each other a lot this year and last year. become pretty good friends. And so how's it going there, Brother Danny?
How you doing, Jim?
Doing well, my friend.
Congratulations on Team of the Year. I think you got Team of the Year in the Southern Barbecue Network, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I sure did. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was the first year for Team of the Year in Southern Barbecue. They're an up-and-coming group, and, you know, we call it dirt tracking, you know, around here, but they're trying to move up. You know, they're trying to get, you know, they've got, you know, from Casey Bell back in there. They're trying to move up. Great group of guys run that organization, and, you know, hopefully they'll get up to free meets here this year.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a dual contest with KCBS up in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, they did. I think you took Grand and now reserved in FBN also on the same day. So
it was a great day. We were parked right next to each other too, side by side.
You were saying even after we turned in the meets, it's kind of funny because Danny has done this before. Reporting to me says first second right here. Don't matter which first second. And I think last time you called it was when we was up there in Gaffney, and we all sitting on the front row. You told the photographer to take a picture because this is all the first place winners right here. And damn if you weren't right.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know if it's karma or what, but you know, worked out. But yeah, it was. We've been all around the Southeast. I know you traveled a lot more than I did this year. You did some contests out in Louisiana and Mississippi and stuff, which is about, you know, a couple hours closer for you than for me, but you know, I do a few more in South Carolina, so let me
kind of we did 33 contests this year.
I did that many too, but they weren't all KCS.
And I had we had 19 in Georgia, 3 in Alabama, 1 in Louisiana, 1 in Mississippi. We took reserve in Mississippi, 2 in Tennessee where we took reserve. I think I took a grand there in South Carolina and North Carolina.
That's right.
And let's not forget Las Vegas and Invitational and the American Royal Invitational.
Yep. You travel quite a bit this year. Yeah, I kind of bowed out at last minute on the World Food Championships. It was a money thing for me. Going out there, it probably was a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but I just, I'd have to give up 3 contests that I wanted to do to go do that one, in my opinion, for me. And I just couldn't swing it, not with the schedule we had. We picked up a big job and everything, and I just couldn't be away from my job that long on such a tight
schedule. Oh, yeah. It was a long trip, you know?
Yeah.
It was, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, if you like Las Vegas, I guess you could consider it a once-in-a-lifetime kind of trip. Me, quite frankly, I'm not a Las Vegas kind of guy. I mean, I got there, I was there 24 hours, and I was ready to leave. But, the best part for me really was the drive out. I mean, going across Texas and all that. And then we went down 20 on the way down and then came back on 40 on the way back up. So, the drive was fun, and Sarah Grillers and me, Moses, we traveled back together from Vegas all the way back to Tennessee and spent 3 days on the road having a grand old time, and it was really a lot of fun. I'm going to be honest with you. I've decided I'm never doing another unsanctioned event, you know, whether it's MMA or whatever it is. It's, you know, if it's not sanctioned by KCBS or somebody else that's in charge of the whole thing, I'm not doing those anymore.
Yeah, sometimes we get a little, I don't know, off kilter or whatever. You know, there's a lot of people that want these contests, but the reason why you get them sanctioned is for the organizational skills. I mean, you know, that's why you have reps and stuff to help you with other things. But yeah, we've done a few, you know, y'all done a few, and every once in a while you run across a good one and say, man, why don't you get this thing sanctioned? You got everything in place. But then you come across a few others that are even sanctioned ones that ain't, as you know, this past summer we didn't have a real great time at. But, you know, it was, if you get the contest sanctioned, you're better off.
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes you get to a non-sanctioned event, and I mean, they're so blatant with their cronyism that you're thinking, good Lord, you know, what did I get myself into here? You know, I'm done with those. I'm done with non-sanctioned events. I want to be playing on a level playing field with somebody in charge of everything, including the judges and the scores and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, because there are some discrepancies in some of the scoring and stuff, I believe. From what I've heard, I wasn't out there, so I'm not judging anything, but there had been some judging, some things that teams were told did not quite go that way. So, even on the final table. But that'll be another issue later on down the road. But, yeah, there's several teams from Georgia, went down to Georgia and Florida. And, like you said, it was a long, long trip. And glad you and Moses hooked up on the way back. Moses, good old boy.
Good people.
Yeah. So what's next up for you, Mr. Kugel?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. We finished second in the Georgia points, and congratulations to Bubba. He's been cooking, what, 8-9 years now? He pulled off first place in the Georgia points. We came in second in the Georgia points, and like you, we've only been competing. This is our second full year competing. And we got, went top 25, fourth in pork in KCBS, and 18th in brisket. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 15th in brisket. And so we did well there. I was looking for a win in pork. Actually, if I'd taken a win in pork this weekend, I probably would have been first in pork this year in Team of the Year, but I didn't. It wasn't in the cards. We managed to finish that contest we did this weekend. Came in eighth with fourth place brisket.
It's amazing how things change. You know, I was going to have Mark Bream from Sarah Grilling on here. You know, he was already been known for his brisket. And now this year, Team of the Year in the pork category. And, and like he said, he's I'm not doing anything different. And I'm thinking, it's just the judge's face is changing. I don't know. We talked about it before. We don't know if it's going to be a meat contest or a sauce contest at any given event you go up to. Are judges leaning towards more sauce or less sauce or, who knows?
What kind of sauce too? Do you need it to be a little spicy or a little tomatoey? I got our southeast region pretty much figured out. As far as South Carolina, North Carolina, then you're in Georgia, Tennessee, how they like it up there. Then you go on down to Louisiana and Mississippi, and any little thing in between. It's pretty cool. But if you get up in Kansas, I get thrown up there. And in the Midwest and whatnot, and I think down in California, that area there, they like pineapples and avocado and stuff in their sauce. So I don't know.
Yeah, probably a fruity or something. I think it does need sweet flavor itself. But just from picking up on from other teams and stuff out there, I think most teams, especially on brisket, they soft their brisket out there.
I found that out. I was sitting next to I had some good teams around me. I was right there at when you come in the gate there in B section, right across from Lotta Bull, really nice guy, Mike, and we were all there. And when I did the invitational, I didn't sauce my brisket. So when it came time for the open, talking to a couple of the teams there, they said, listen, Danny, you need to put some sauce on your brisket. Did that, and my brisket, I think we finished like 45th out of 500 teams or something, and that was a pretty good climb in my brisket. In the Invitational, we didn't do badly. I mean, I was one spot away from getting a call in ribs. I think we finished 21st in ribs. And finished 45th overall. That's a real good contest. I love that contest. To me, that's the real, world championship of barbecue. I mean, that's the deal right there, the American Royal.
Well, you got some, everybody that's there has won a grand, an invitational, at least one. Several's won several of them. But you know, like you said, it's I think in reality it's one of those contests where you have to go at least once and kind of see what it's all about. Get the your bug eyes back in your head and you know, the overwhelmingness of it, and get back to cooking what you like to cook. Like you said, you know, the further out west you go, I think the flavor profile changes to where it's a lot more salt out that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I looked at my first time with the Royal as being a learning process, and I'm ready. I'm already qualified for next year in the Invitational, so I'm looking forward to going back again.
Yeah, I've got my sheet in about a month and a half ago to fill out for next year. So I'm going to be weighing it pretty heavy. If I pick up a couple sponsors between now and then, I'm sure I'll be out there representing. But you know, like, you know, even Andrew from Smokehouse Mafia and Chill Bend and Grill, and, you know, a lot of them went out there, and, you know, some of them got some calls and stuff. But, you know, like I said, I just think demographic-wise, what works around here doesn't necessarily work out there.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the teams that won, were in the top, say, if you look at the top 20 teams, I mean, they're all from that region. You know, the Southeast teams didn't really represent that well. It's not because we don't cook good food. It's just because I think it's just the sauce, you know. It's the sauce,
yeah, yeah.
The sauce.
Yeah, sauce, more sauce. Yeah, I think the Invitational, they would have a better grasp of everything. But in the Open, it's just like, yeah, you're out no man's land. And with that many teams and everything, you know, the judges get bombarded with everything and scoring's real tight, a lot of ties. And, I don't know, like I said, I'm gonna get out there 1 year and experience all that and see what it's all about. You know, go from there. And I know some people with their reds and even their pork, they'll tend to overcook their meats a little bit. Like I said, it's always better to overcook it a little bit than to undercook it, definitely. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, is it, you know?
Well, I've made some changes to my timeline where I'm trying to take and not overcook my meat, but turn in my meat where it's fresher to the judges.
Yeah.
Which has really made it a lot, really added a lot more work to my whole turning time deal there. I mean, I'm nonstop doing something because I've got basically everything on at the same time.
Right.
But and that really hasn't made a difference, quite frankly, in the judging. So maybe I go back to, you know, letting that meat, you know, letting my especially the pork butts, letting my pork butts, you know, they come off at 7 in the morning and just letting them rest and, you know, in the Cambro till it's ready for turning, and by that time they've done shrunk up and look like meteorites, you know. You know, you cut into them and, you know, they're pretty much, I mean, there's no juice, there's nothing flowing out of them, but hell, I did a lot better with that than I did with fresh, delicious pork that was juicy and fresh right off the smoker. Apparently the judges, either they're not used to eating pork like that, or they're just used to having meteorites for turning. You know what I mean?
Well, I think, even though your pork butts look like meteorites, I think when you cut them, though, I think they're, in my opinion, all the juice is redistributed and everything. And as you know, a lot of these judges can't tell that. But I'm thinking, you know, when you take it off 7 to 8, you know, before 9 o'clock or whatever, and it sits there for three, four, 5 hours, I think in my opinion, the moisture in the meat kind of redistributes through the whole thing, whereas when you just take it off, you know, when you slice it, you get a lot of juice. Well, yeah, according to David Buska, that's really not a good thing, because when you slice it, you don't really want to see any juice much come out of it. And
that's true.
And when you squeeze it, you'll see juice. And doing it his way, and I try to tell people, you know, I did my show on July 23rd, and he went through a lot of variable lot of very good points that he didn't have to do. And right now it's the number one archive show on Barbecue Superstars history. But that man right there, just talking to him, even, you know, off the radio and stuff, just talking to him on the phone, he knows so much about meat, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I was doing so-so in pork. Well, I do good one week, do bad next week in pork. My brisket was, you know, about the same. After I talked to him on the phone, and he told me all the ins and outs of this stuff, my pork and brisket were bam, 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 you know, top. So, I owe it to him, because, like I said, I went back to using the Butcher product, and he really came through for me. So, like I said, I'm going to start off next year doing that, I can tell you that. But, you know, it's like every team, you know, you got to pick up little tidbits of information. And he's doing that meat sits there for a while, and, you know, if you wrap it, keep it wrapped up. And he said, may have a tendency to overcook, but when it starts coming back down, the meat's tightening back up, and he said, almost acts like a sponge with absorbing your moisture back up. So, I don't know. I haven't done that much to really do the research, but doing it his way has really worked for me.
Well, I tell you, I've done it both ways, and apparently the judges like it where it sits. You know, you take it off at 7 and you let it sit in its au jus where it's wrapped, and let's just let it sit there till you're ready to use it. And, you know, it does come out moist, you know, still, and it does come out, you know, the way you want it. It's just, it's not, you know what I think it was? I was trying to cook pork the way I want to eat it. And I started doing that about four contests ago. Four or five. Well, you know, since Vegas, I started trying that, and I was cooking it the way I want to eat it, and I need to stop doing that. You know, fresh right off the. Not when I say fresh right off the smoker, I don't mean like 5 minutes off the smoker and then slice it. I mean like an hour. You know, pull it an hour from the smoker and let it rest for an hour, and do its thing. But you're right. You got to try everything, and I'm one of those cooks that like to do research. No matter how long I cook, I'm always going to be learning. I think we're always learning about food and how to make it better and how to get it right there where we need it. It's always a learning process, you know. And I've noticed that too with our class with PitbullsBBQSchool.com. A lot of the guys that have taken that class have taken their game from, you know, top 20. Finishing the top 20s to winning grands and, you know, top 5 cooks. And, you know, talking to them, emailing back and forth and whatnot, what they did was they took the class and they say my brisket injection. Well, they took the dry ingredients from my brisket injection and added it to their injection. And that's what did it for them. Or they did, you know, the way I do the pork. Well, they said, well, hell, I never even thought about doing that. But it was that there was two things that I was doing with my pork that they added to what they were doing. And the same thing with the brisket and the chicken. And a lot of guys were doing things with the chicken that they just never realized that, you know, this is actually how you do it. You go 1, 2, 3, and this is your result. And they started going 1, 2, 3, and that was his result. And instead of doing one thing, they did another thing, and that made a big difference for them. I mean, a couple of guys got 180s this year in chicken that took the class. Hell, a backyard team last weekend at the contest I was at cooked the class for the first time and took first place in everything. And that's happened several times this year. I mean, we've had a lot of Swampy Bottom Boys. They went out, I think it was their fourth or fifth contest, and took a grand at Stuart Sink's contest.
Up in Duluth.
Yeah, up in Duluth. And, you know, it was like their fourth contest. And, you know, you look at teams that have been cooking for 5 years that never even won a reserve, you know.
Yeah.
But they took the class, PitbullsBBQSchool.com, and, you know, went – you know, and then there's a few teams out there that You know, and I told them, I said, look, you take the class, it's going to pay for itself the first contest. And they look at me and laugh, and they go out and they do it, and it pays for itself the first contest. They come over there and shake my hand, and they're congratulating me, and I turn to them and I go, look, it's all you. You cooked the contest. You took a little bit of what I had, and you took it and put it with what you had, and you managed to pull it off, you know?
I think both teams do that. You know, I'm a big advocate about, you know, I was wanting to shorten that learning curve, so to speak. I mean, for teams who, you know, do 5 or 6 this year, and you think about doing 10 or 15 next year, you know, take a class. I mean, it's like 2 entry fees, and like Danny said, it'll pay for itself the first time you go out. My second contest after taking my class I was in, yeah, I took a reserve grant, and, you know, we've been kind of rolling ever since, so to speak. And but, you know, it does. It shortens the learning curve, and I believe every team will take what whoever the class you take, say you took Danny's class, I think every team will tweak it to their what they've got already kind of in the mix, and it would just add that extra off to your meat, and you know, you kind of wow the judges. So, you know, I'm all for people taking classes and shorten the learning curve, but it's nothing more frustrating going and spend your hard-earned money, you know, $800-$900 contest, and don't see any returns on it. Well, like I said, it costs you 2 entry fees to a contest, and you know, you'll pay for it. So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, I don't know what it costs you to do a contest, but I was putting together our budget for some of our sponsors today, and looking at our what it costs to do a contest, and it's a little over $1,000 to do a contest when you figure everything up. $1,132 to be exact to do a contest, and that's cooking, you know, premium meats, you know, one steak river farm, 1 wagyu brisket, you know, and you got your chicken, you got your pork, you got your ribs, you got your pans, you got your sauce, you got all, you know what I'm talking about, right down to gloves. And so if you figure $1,000 a contest, hell, right now our school is going for $400 because it's the holiday season, you know, for Christmas and whatnot. And, hell, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's, you know, and that doesn't even count the amount of hours you have in prepping your meat, getting all your crap ready, cleaning your tray before you go out or even when you come back in or whatever. Yeah, you got time to spend on cleaning your smokers and, you know, the whole nine yards. But, you know, it's a lot more than that when you start figuring in your time.
Let me ask you a question. Is the Triple Crown next weekend?
It's this weekend. Yeah.
It's this weekend.
Yeah.
I was thinking about just taking my Lang and hooking it up to the back of my truck and throwing a cooler in the back with my meat and my wood and some charcoal, and just going down there and cooking that thing with not even a pop-up tent or a table. Just cook off the tailgate of my truck.
Yeah. You can get into the open, but, you know, the invitation, you have to have, like, 3 contests or something that were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was talking about cooking the open.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with nothing at all, just my pickup truck, my Lang. It's been a while since I've been out there cooking on my Lang, and just a cooler and some seasoning in a box and some wooden charcoal, and I not even have a pop-up tent.
Go
just a cooker and my meat. That's it.
Go old school, huh?
Yeah, right out there. Just roll right up underneath one of them pine trees that got down there. I was down there last year with Brad Kay. You know, just roll up there and park up underneath the dang pine tree right there and just cook.
Yeah,
show up on Friday.
Sometimes you keep it simple like that, go old school. I mean, sometimes you do a little bit better, you know. You never know.
I don't know. I think it'll be fun. I'll just take my big garden chair out there with me, and I sleep in my garden chair next to my Lang. Don't need no tent. All I need to do is cook. So just take the 84 and make it happen.
That's it.
84, a box of wood, and some seasoning and some meat. That's it.
Yep. Royal oak charcoal.
Royal oak charcoal. I like that stuff. And I tell you what, that Baxter's wood, that Baxter's original, boy, that's some good wood. That's some of the best wood I've ever cooked with. And I've cooked with a lot of wood, and I've gone out and got my own wood. But I tell you, sure does. It sure is nice to have somebody that picks through it, finds all the good stuff, and boxes it up and delivers it right to your door, where you don't have to go fool with stuff in the middle of summer and get covered up in sugars and whatnot. You know, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we've got a wood business, so I get my own. Brad Lang gets it for me, and Wayland's Weekly Good Q, and Ultimate Tailgaters, and a few others. They come by and get some wood from me. I think Mike Richter from Chick's Fine Bovine, when he makes his so-called Southern Run, I think he's going to stop by the shop. Pick him up. We've got some really good hickory in lately, and, you know, be good in season, you know, around March, February, March-ish, and so he's looking forward to stopping by and loading up.
You know, I'm still using that pecan you gave me.
Yeah, that's about all I use. I like that pecan.
Yeah, I like that pecan. I like to use it. I like all my wood to be green, and that believe it or not, that pecan still got some green in it, and I've still got a box of that stuff.
Yeah, that was a soft shell pecan tree, if anybody's interested in. To me, I think the bark is heavier on the tree than it is on the pecan shell, and it's got a thick bark. So you know, I was impressed how long. You know, that's what I'm using too. I'm using the same that you are, same tree, and had several people, even Grant Lang's been using it, and Waylon's been using it, and they really like the flavor it gives, you know.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I like that. I like that pecan. But think about what Baxter's. I don't know if you're into peach trees and whatnot, but I tell you that he's got that peach wood down there, and that stuff's real good.
Yeah, I've got some peach. We got some peach plantations up around this area, and I've tried some, and hadn't tried any of my TNT yet, but I tried some of my offset, and it came out a little smoky. For me, and I may have just put too much in it. I don't know. It may have been too dry or whatever, but it just kind of had a thick smoke to it. And so, like I said, I've gone using some cherry and some pecan and some apple, depending on which wood I have on. But, you know, we're talking about competition and stuff. And speaking of competitions, I think we got want to congratulate last week's winner, Bubba Q, for winning what I call the Gunfight at OK Corral. That was a big win for you up there, wasn't it, Bubba?
It was not too bad, I guess. It was a very surprising win, I'll give it that.
You've had a couple of those this year.
Yeah, I have had a few of those this year. You know, this past weekend, it was really kind of different for me because I really didn't put forth much effort this weekend. You know, I didn't have a dog in any hunt that was going on this past weekend. You know, the points races are over for me as far as I was concerned. And, you know, I had a twofold that evening that on Thursday evening, and I didn't realize how bad that was actually going to hurt. You know, so I just, I really wasn't into this weekend. Actually, I almost didn't even go, you know, because I think I'm just kind of ready for the year to wind down. So, you know, I knew that I didn't have a bad cook, but I wouldn't have ranked it up there as one of my best ones. And, you know, you never know how that's going to come out. I mean, I've said before, and I'll continue to say it, my best events are always when I tend to feel like, well, it was just okay.
I remember we were up in Nashville, you know, we were all sitting around, we were all counting, you know, what place went where and all this other stuff, and, you know, Pack Smokes had two firsts and a tenth and something, and you're over there congratulating them, next thing you know, they call you out for a grand champion. And I'll admit, I won't forget that face that you made for a while. It was.
I still wish somebody had a picture of that.
It was just. I mean, if the camera was rolling, you know, there were several pictures we could have taken, you know, like when we hit back, me and Dom said, but, you know, trailer hit right along that, what were we going down, 24, and you were out in front of the gate, and your trailer was right there in front of that big rock formation, and kind of had a greenish hue to your trailer, and we looked at one of us, damn, I wish we just take a picture of that, but then it was too late. Yeah, that face you made, I told Don the other day, I said, the one of Bubba, they were going to make another one of the faces again, because, I mean, I know up there you were truly, truly shocked up there at that one.
Well, you know, that definitely was one that, you know, nobody saw that one coming by any means. This past weekend, you know, I mean, it was a surprise win for me, you know, for winning the contest and doing as well as we actually did. But I think after I got my brisket call, it was everybody pretty much knew that I had won the contest at that point. So it wasn't quite the awe factor like it was up there in Nashville with the Sam's series, but it was still a good win. You know, I love to have those kind of surprise wins like that a lot more now. You know, we all go out and we all like to think and know that we have these great cooks and we're going to do well. And it's just, it's nice when you're not necessarily expecting it to be that like that.
I don't want to go to Olive Garden or Carrabba's or somewhere else.
Where I'm actually on our way out to eat with the family.
Okay. Well,
so,
yeah.
But it was nice. You know, the contest itself, I think Aaron did a good job up there. You know, a few hiccups along the way, you know, but, and, you know, that's somewhat to be expected with a first-time event. But you know, it was a nice little venue up there in Calhoun that he did on, and, you know, I'll go back next year and wish him all the best and support it and do what I can to help it grow.
Yeah, I was looking at going to enter that one, but I told my wife after Charleston that our year was pretty much done, and she made me stick to it. So, yeah, I kind of, you know, I needed to break away from it because, like Danny said, you know, we ended up, yeah, I did a few South Carolina, a lot of SBNs and the FBA this year on top of my KCBS. So we had 33 contests in this year, and that was a lot.
It's tough. It's, I mean, you know, anybody that is going out there and doing 25 plus contests knows exactly how tough it is. And, you know, when you really start breaking, you know, hitting that 35 mark and above, you know, I mean, it's just brutal any way around.
The point where,
you know,
it's not fun anymore, you know.
Well, you know, it does. It does get like that. You know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, we can go out and have good times around, but it does become monotonous. You know, I almost didn't even go to Calhoun this weekend. You know, I'm ready for my year to be over with and take some time off and not think that I have to go somewhere and do something and whatever the case is. And, you know, granted, I have staff in the restaurants that can help me get stuff done. It still doesn't mean that I don't have to get involved mentally and physically, you know, and then make the drives and do all of that stuff. So I know exactly what you're talking about. As far as, you know, getting away, and I'm really looking forward to having time off. You know, we have an event, the FBA Triple Crown event coming up this weekend down in Perry, Florida, you know, and that's a tough one in itself because, you know, it's a double contest. You know, we have turn-ins at the exact same time for two different contests. You know, so it puts a lot of pressure and stress on those that attend to it.
Right. You still got the same window frame in there and everything that you got to have all these meats. So instead of just having one ready, you got to have two ready. And,
right. You know, now, you know, the advantage is that, you know, we have an hour in between turn-ins, so you do have that time frame to kind of regroup. But, you know, as far as boxing and everything like that, yeah, it's right there, it's, you know. So it does make it tough.
I mean, it, you know, there too, you know, if you got another team member that's really involved with you, it can make it a little easier on you too, because they can, like, do the groundwork of the box, and you can kind of finish it off the way you want to. And, you know, my wife helped me down there in Charleston doing that, and worked out pretty well. It was a lot easier on me. And, you know, we had an hour in between turning there too, no garnish, and I mean, we made everything nice. We'd already decided on how we were going to lay the boxes out and stuff, and, you know, I wanted everything just to be piping ass hot, so I didn't take it out at the last minute to slice it or pull it or whatever. So
right.
She was right there to take care of the pull, which is the base of everything, and then, you know, I took it from there. So worked out pretty good for us. And so is Jared going down there with y'all? Or?
Yeah, Jared will be my right hand this weekend. You know, Shannon was going to go, but, you know, she's got stuff to do and try and get ready for the holidays. so she's going to stay back and just do that. And we'll go do our thing and come back, and I'm going to park my rig for a while.
Like you said last year at the contest, you parked it, you didn't go into it until almost February or something. So.
Yep, still had dirty cups and I think McDonald's bag or something still up in there. But, yeah, I just, you know, parked it and got out and got away from it.
That's when you know you're done.
Yes. I mean, that, you know, the next day I got the dirty clothes and food out of the camper, and then just I didn't even go in the truck. I mean, just locked everything up and just got away. You know, I don't think that I'm quite to that point like I was last year where I was just tired. I am ready for everything to be over with and take some time off. But, you know, I've got some other things that I'm working on. You know, some ideas with things we want to do with the restaurant. And, you know, I actually went and looked at a third location today. You know, I think that I really want to move in the direction of getting another store opened up.
Yeah, you talked about the Savannah area. Is that going to be the possible area?
Savannah came up. You know, it all came up. I found out about a restaurant that was for sale down there, a distressed sale. And I have a buddy of mine that is a food and beverage director at one of the nice hotels down there, and I contacted him about it. And he, you know, Scott's been in the food service business for about 23 years now, so he knows his way around and he knows the town. You know, and that's really where that kind of came up. I've actually had in the back of my mind, I like Savannah, I like the market down there. You know, but it's still a haul. You know, it's 3.5-4 hour drive from where I'm at, so it's not like I can just run to it. You know, I'm not going to rule that out. I'll still, you know, look at possibilities. I mean, Atlanta needs to be my primary market. You know, and I looked at a location about 15 miles down the road, over in Roswell, Georgia, today. So it's not that far, and as it turns out, unbelievable. I just actually happened to see it today. I was over in the area. Some guys were going to go in. They just invested over $100,000 in the place and never opened the doors.
Good Lord.
It's fully equipped. The only thing I need to do is redo a few decorations and put a smoker in.
Yeah, that sounds like a winner-winner chicken dinner there.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to go back over there tomorrow with my contractor and one of my GMs because one of the things I don't like is the kitchen is tight on how it is. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, I do want to get focused on another location, though. And then we've got some retail ideas that we're going to do in the store as well with some various things in there.
You've been selling your salsa for a little while, too, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have a jack in the I have to excuse me. I'm sitting down to eat as well, too. But, our sauce sales have been pretty phenomenal. I've been pretty happy. There's, you know, been quite a few people out there, you know, using the sauce and doing well with it. I think a lot more people are, you know, enjoy sauce more than they do rub. I would definitely like our rub sales to be more, but I'm not complaining at all where they're at. You know, and I've got some ideas on a couple other rubs and stuff, too, and, you know, essentially kind of doing a whole, whether it's an online or in-house kind of retail shop of rubs. The company that I use to package rubs, you know, they'll do anything that I want. You know, and I want to cater more also to some of that, just the guys cooking at home. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be barbecue. You know, whether it's just, you know, having a party at home and doing steaks, burgers, and some chicken at home, I want to tap into that market as well.
Yeah, kind of like the mainstream backyarders. That's how a lot of people start. I mean, that's how I started. I'm sure that's how, you know, pretty much everybody else started. People say, hey, that's good food.
Yeah, you know, I started just the same way as probably you, like you just said, and several other people. I'm a homegrown cook, you know. I've always enjoyed it at home and played around with food. I mean, I'm by no means am a chef, and I don't pretend to be one, and there's a lot of stuff probably about food that I don't know. But I just try different things and like to think what may work, what may not work, and really just what's good food. You know what I mean? And anybody that knows me, you know, when we go out to eat and do things, you know, I love food and I love good food. And it doesn't matter whether it's $100 a plate or if it's $10 a plate. As long as it's good and I feel like I've got my value for it and my money's worth, I'm happy as can be.
Well, I know you get back to, you know, people being chefs and stuff. I tell you what, when we had some of those Thursday and Friday night dinners, there's a lot of chefs that come out of the woodwork out of those barbecue pits. I admit that. There's some pretty damn good food at the table.
I don't know if you necessarily call them chefs, but you know we are creative cooks.
There you go.
You know, chefs sometimes get too technical, and you know, I mean, I've dealt with food service business for a long, long time, and you know, I mean, chefs definitely are people to recognize, and with true chefs, you know, I mean, it's almost an art at what they do with food. You know, I think with cooks, you know, we're just more open to trying different things out, and not everything has to be perfect all the time.
Right.
And I think that makes a difference, you know, not saying that things don't need to look right or be right, but I just think that we're more forgiving in things that we do, and, you know, out of that, you know, ideas, you know, and creativity, you know, substance comes along with that. And I think that just people in general need to be like that with food that they're doing. You know, there's not always necessarily a right and wrong to it. You know, it's if you're able to put something out that's good and people enjoy.
Well, that's what it is. You know, everybody's going to enjoy good food no matter who you are. So, you know, it's just like anything else, just good food and people are going to enjoy it. And, you know, you hear the rants and raves about it and everything. So, but, you know, it's, you know, I guess with us too, you know, We have to manage our box in case we have FDA, we don't. But I think for us as us being cooked, you know, we're more looking at that, regardless of any flu, but, you know, we're looking more at the meat presentation, so to speak, you know. It's not much. You sauce, we've got too much of this on it or whatever. You know, we're kind of like carnivores out there. We just want, you know, show me the meat, and, you know, we'll be the judge of it.
That's what it's all about. So, anyways, look, I'm going to give you all a few more minutes, and I'm going to sit down and eat. Trying to order some food, speaking of.
What's next on your list to do?
I'm sorry?
What's next on your list? I'll live in the FBA this weekend. Is this going to be your last one of the year?
Yeah, this will be the last thing that we have of the year. You know, as far as next year, you know, I'm going to try and run next year along the lines of what I did this year. I'm not really going to put together a schedule. You know, I mean, there's some events we know that we're going to do, and we'll get out and do those. But, you know, one of the things I have to do is I've been saying this for, you know, a few years now about cutting back, and I really have to get that in play. You know, this 40-plus contest a year is, you know, it's taxing. You know, it, mentally and physically. You know, there's sacrifices as a family that we've made and things that I've missed. And, you know, my oldest son, you know, I may have another this summer or the following summer will be the last summer he's around. And I don't want to turn around and all of a sudden realize that he's moving on. You know,
right.
So I'll still be out, you know, a fair amount, but I won't do the 40 plus, you know, and you know, if the Georgia Barbecue Championship Series is still running in 2013, I'll definitely make a stab at that because that's just home state, and you know, it's something that it's very close to home with me. It means a lot to me as well. But you know, as far as I think any Team of the Year program or anything like that. I don't think that I'm going to chase any of that. I'm not going to worry about any of it. You know, I have all the time in the world to mess around with those things, but, you know, I don't have all the time in the world to spend with my family.
Right. Like I said, it does, you know, doing that for the contest, it does get challenging. And not only that, you know, you're balancing a full time, more than a full time job on top of that. So, you know,
sure.
That's another reason why I'm not at the thing, Jim. We picked up a huge whole neighborhood landscape, and we had to do 52 houses and a clubhouse in 32 days. So that's grading everything, irrigation, the whole nine yards. We had to do walls, block walls. So me and another company hooked up, did it. But it was, you know, it was balls out there for a long time. And, you know, it was just getting to me the week before Thanksgiving. You know, I had to quit doing something. And
well, you know, when things like that come along and whatever line of work that you're in, you know, you have to really focus and put forth a lot of resources to get that stuff done. You know, I'll be honest, you know, there's some things this year that I don't know how we got done. The only thing I can do is thank my incredible staff that works for me. You know, our catering this year has just, it has been through the roof, which is one of the reasons we've kind of put off on a third location. You know, I mean, we have one company that we do work for that I literally had to install another walk-in cooler and buy another Southern Pride a 700 on a trailer because of this one company we do so much work for. And I only see that happening more and more. But, you know, you have to put forth the time and the resources to get that stuff done. And even though I have these great people that work for me and can take care of a lot of things, you know, there's just things that I feel like I need to be more involved with.
Well, what I've noticed too is, you know, like you, I've got people that take care of things when I'm out of town. But to me, when I'm there, not that anything really changes, but things just kind of run smoother because people aren't trying to think, well, what would Bubba do, you know?
Right.
Something. So you're there, so they don't have to worry about that issue. So
they
concentrate more on what they're supposed to do instead of, you know, the whole thing. So, you know, I try to be there. You know, I really haven't ever left my guys when they really, really had to have me. You know, like I said, Friday's a good day for me to take off. We're usually finishing up jobs. I never start a new job on a Friday. So, you know, a lot of times I'll take off early on Friday so I can leave on Thursday. People handle the payroll and all this other stuff. So, you know, it's kind of set in their ways. And you know, the guy's got to help the company out. And he's a leader, too. And he's going to pick another thing. And he's pulled six other ways. But you know, what? DBC in February, and I got one in Augusta in February, and, you know, we'll just see how it goes.
That's all we can do.
So.
All right, well, listen, Jim, I'm gonna let y'all run so I can sit down with the family and enjoy some time with them. You know, it's always a pleasure calling in and being a part of the show, and, you know, as I always say, if there's anything I can do for anybody, don't hesitate to reach out, and more than happy to offer a helping hand wherever I can, you know. And until then, you know, for everybody out there, I hope you all have a safe and happy holiday seasons, and as they say, good smoking luck.
All right, Bubba, take care. Enjoy your dinner, and we'll see you on the trail next year, buddy.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, that was Bubba Latimer from Bubba Q, just a grand championship up in Calhoun, Georgia. He's proud owner of two locations of Bubba Q, one in Jasper, Georgia, and one in Woodstock, Georgia. If you get a chance, go ahead and stop on by and, you know, try his food out. It's several competitors do, and I've heard I haven't had a chance, but several buddies of mine have been by his restaurant and said it's awesome food. So if you want some really good barbecue in Georgia, go by Bubba Q. Danny dropped off. If you'll call back in, we'll finish talking to him. But anyway, like I said, they've got a big contest out in California this week. It's called put on by Big Papa Smokers. And I guess it's kind of the best of the best. I mean, there's quite a few really good teams left out of it. But, you know, you got people like Smoking Triggers and Pellet Envy and IAB 30 and 3Eyes, Much Tons of the Hilton, you know, Jamie Gear, Cool Smoke with Tuffy. A lot of really good teams going to be out there. You know, a few teams like Lava Bowl and Butch Barbecue's not going to be there, and Cereal Grillers and Barbecue, and, you know, several of the teams. But he's got 24 really, really good teams out there, $50,000 prize money. It's going to be – it would be an awesome cook to go out there. It's all the way out to California. And good luck to all those guys this weekend. Also, I want to say good luck to Brad Kay. I believe he's going down to cooking FBA along with Barbecue and several other teams. I know Bank B will be there with Swamp Boys. And so, like I said, good luck to all y'all, my friends, and hope y'all do well. I know not everybody can win it, but hope y'all do get some calls and come on with a little change in your pocket, and hopefully come on with some trophies or even the big trophy. So we'll say good luck to all those teams going down there to cooking the Triple Crown in the FBA this weekend down in Perry, Florida. It'll be an awesome event down there. We're going to wind down the show. I want to thank everybody for listening in. I do want to call out my sponsors, Royal Oak Charcoal, American Tradition. If you haven't tried any of the lump charcoal, you need to get it untried. It's really, really good. High heat, low ash, long burn time. Can't ask for anything better. I also want to thank David Buska from Butcher Barbecue for coming on board. Fast Act, all the way down the line. I haven't had a chance to meet him in person, but I've talked to him several times on the phone, and he's been very helpful. He's calling order. He picks up the phone himself. So it's a very, you know, personal operation out there, and this man knows his stuff. If you need to order some stuff, give him a call. If you see us at a contest, we're going to be carrying his products. We can help you save a few dollars, but come by my trailer, and we'll hook you up with some product. Also, I want to thank Fireside Outdoor Kitchens Grill here in Augusta, Greg McCauley, for supporting me the last 2 years. We couldn't have done it without his help, and he took it from the ground up, and our hats go off to him. He's been a really, really big help for us. I also want to give a shout-out to Southern Q Smokers, TNT Smokers, Southern Q Smokers, Scott and Tim. Build a quality smoker. It's they're gravity fed. I'm gonna tell you what, guys, for the price you cannot beat it. I mean, $2,500, $2,700 gets you into a smoker. You can literally put 20 butts on there at one time and smoke them at the same time. Very first rate. I mean, great smokers. We competed on them. We've won several grands, reserve grands on them. Actually, I sold one off the back of my trailer to another competitor, and went out the following week with my old one and took grand down there with it. So I'm going to tell you what, that shows you the consistency of the cooking and the quality of meats that these smokers put out. If you get a chance, go to SouthernQ.com, SouthernQSmokers.com, and either give Scott or Tim a call, and they'll hook you up. You don't have to wait 6 months for your smoker. They're looking at about a 3 to 4 week turnaround maximum. That's maximum. A lot of times you can have it done in 2 weeks. So if you want to practice this winter, give them a call, and I guarantee you they'll get you what you need, and you know, you'll be ready for next season. So give them a call, Southern Q Smokers. I also want to thank my wife, Jan, for putting up with all the crap that I put her through. Proud owner of Jamwiches here in Augusta. She sponsors me in more ways than you could ever imagine. So my hats off to my wife. She's been to several competitions, and I want to thank her for letting me do what I love to do. And you know, she's great by my side. So we will pick up again next Monday night. Some new guests and everything coming on. We should have Mark Breen from Cereal Griller, the number one pork team in the country. We're gonna try to lasso a couple other teams. For next Monday's show, so it'll be a pretty stout show next Monday night. I want to thank, again, Bubba from Barbecue for calling in. Also, my buddy Danny Kugel from Pitbulls Up the Smoke for calling in. You know, we got to talking, and I think he dropped off. But anyway, I'd like to get Danny back on the show. One coming up before too long, and finish talking about where we think bug season on. So anyway, this is Jim Bird from Killer Bees Barbecue. Signing off. Y'all have a wonderful week and be safe and good smoking luck.